Don't touch it.
I want to touch it as a ball.
Touch
ball. Don't put marbles in your nose. Put them in there. Do not put them in there.
Welcome.
Brian's intro, I guess.
Yeah. Welcome. To the podcast.
Oh, man.
37.
Is this part of the intro?
It's all part of the intro. The whole episode. Yeah. That's our gimmick this week. The entire podcast is the intro.
Just the intro.
Just an hour and a half introing and unintroing.
Hey, if people, it works for boring podcasts and for battle reports. Why can't we?
Well, we got to make sure we have bad sound if we're going to do a boring podcast.
I finally got around to watching the 7th video podcast, and I want to gay marry Alex. He's wonderful.
Oh, never mind,
Alex.
Alex
Springfield. He played Jeremy in our video podcast battle report. He posted to me. He's like, "Why did you?" He was having a bad day that day, and he's like, "Oh, you need to put that damn battle report up." He was tired. They played a game in the morning after a long weekend, so he wasn't playing his best, and he was just sad.
So we have introed, but we didn't actually intro anybody.
Welcome.
No,
that's Michael Buffer.
We've already done that part of it.
Podcast.
Let's start over with Brian doing the intro, and then we'll introduce ourselves.
Right, no, I already have. We said welcome to 37.
Welcome to 30. No. I'm Brian. I painted my scorn.
That's Brian. He painted scorn.
I'm Jim, and I play the violin.
That rhymes.
Hey. I'm Andy, and I farted.
He did. And I apologize.
Welcome to podcast fail.
Yes, it is. Historical note, we've only ever discarded completely one recording that we just said this is an abomination, and it was this exact team. So
yep.
We're in for a ride.
Go welcome. Team fail.
And we're too lazy to re-record, so I apologize.
Yep. All because of Jeremy and Katie.
They're too busy doing nothing today, so they won't be here.
I'm shocked they aren't here. Like, I knew they were going to blow off your board gaming, but I'm surprised
They weren't invited. They decided to do nothing today, so we decided not to invite them.
I mean, if you say, I'm not doing anything today, that includes podcasts.
Exactly. This was planned for weeks. Like, you know, we could hang out with you, or we could just sit home and do nothing, and they chose to do that, so...
Yeah,
they don't get to play with us.
That's
today.
Mostly what I did too. But I sat home and stayed nothing with someone who
was
had a weekend off
also,
in a month.
I knew that ahead of time. You didn't tell me that a half an hour before start time. You, you didn't text me. Oh, by the way, we decided not to hang out with you.
Oh, I decided my iPod's more fun than you, Brian.
that and you don't have a vehicle.
Yeah.
Readily usable vehicle.
Although I drove right past your house, so that's
true.
A problem in the future.
You live like across the street from me.
We really could have used your games. Though. We're thinking of sending someone back to your place, picking some of your board games. We had 16 people.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to come get Scepter.
Yeah.
So we had a bunch of people playing board games today. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You guys should come on Tuesday and we'll just play board games.
I want to turn Tuesday into board game day.
That works for
honest.
Me.
I would turn Tuesday into board game and Misty. I would gladly do that.
Done.
All right.
We just formed a board game day. That's good news for everyone out there that cares.
We've replaced one third of our War Machine nights. Suck it, War Machine players.
Yeah, we've replaced 6% of our War Machine playing
time. Yeah, because no one ever plays on Tuesdays. Yeah.
Yeah, we just need more people on Wednesdays. That's what we need. Because holy crap, we can't fit any more people in that damn store.
So do you guys bother with an agenda anymore?
Hypothetically.
Our agenda. Welcome to episode 37.
We had a couple topics we were going to talk about, except now...
It'd be pointless.
Hey, Jim, what are you planning on bringing to War Machine Weekend?
My violin.
See? There you go.
Are you actually going to War Machine Weekend?
Of course not.
Why not?
He doesn't play War Machine anymore. I'm planning on playing almost no War Machine.
If I get laid off the week of War Machine Weekend for a week or so, I'll go.
I could tell you, though, that there's probably going to be a lot of people who want to see you at War Machine Weekend.
And there'll be mostly board gaming happy for a lot of people. So, I mean, you could literally play board games the entire time.
Yeah.
That's good, but I don't want to see those people.
John.
Wow. John is not there's a poll on Music Minis which is the friendliest person in their podcast, and John is not winning that podcast.
I think
Chad's winning.
Although John is clearly the friendliest person.
I think Chad is
just a hug.
Chad's the sexiest. But I think...
I don't know. I've seen Chad be grumpy. I've never seen John be grumpy where it wasn't hilarious.
Chad is sexy grumpy, though.
John gets away with it. When you're angry, you get funnier and funnier. You are super nice. That's true.
No, that's what nice means.
Sure it is.
I just love he got sportsmanship that first War Machine weekend due to flagrant racism. Because he was just so jolly looking that we all thought, he's like, I hate all of you white people and hope you die. And we're like, oh, isn't he friendly?
I almost cried when he won. I was so happy for him.
Yeah, I was
He is such a nice guy.
Although Josh deserved to win the sportsmanship award. Who are we kidding?
last year, the guy, Charles Foster, should have won it. Isn't he the one that got those two teenage girls to get Fat Asian's signature?
Yes.
Yeah, he should have won
it. That's the greatest troll ever.
Well, I guess trolling is a good sportsmanship.
Also, well, instead, he got a job with Privateer Press, and I think that's a decent booby prize.
Did he put that on his resume?
Yeah.
Trolled. Damn it, that's what I need. I guess I got to put that
epic
in my...
troll of Fat Asian.
Damn it.
That's like its own little...
Is that
point.
What worked for Plumber, too? Did Plumber show
I don't know. Fat Asian gets trolled so much, now to troll me, you have to go so far above and beyond. You can't just send two girls to him anymore. You have to like take it to the next level. Which I'm really afraid of the next level.
I just so exist his, and it bothers him.
Send
so
him to his room or something? I don't know.
I did a life-size banner, and that didn't get me a job.
No, it didn't.
Have you actually applied?
And no. Have you put it on your resume?
There's no way I would get a job with Privateer Press. I have burnt more bridges than the Nazis retreating from Normandy.
Oh, like, that started early.
Nazis!
Oh, come on. That's
just like, you just lumped yourself in with Nazis.
No, I said I was more efficient than them.
Do you have a better final solution?
Oh, man.
To getting a job at Privateer Press, yes.
Hey, whatever your final solution is, good for you.
They could never hire me, ever. I would have to get extensive plastic surgery and go into witness reconstruction. Reconstruction?
Yep.
You get what I mean.
Will you be Gordon Tremesco? You can apply as Gordon Tremesco.
Yes.
If you do, make sure one of your bullet points is epic troll of Fat Asian.
That's true.
Yeah.
Life-size poster of him in a dress.
Could I take credit for that?
No.
Did you take a picture or print
it off? I paid for the banner. I made the banner.
I helped. I think I delivered
you taped
the banner.
It up.
I mean, you're used to taking his credit, so I mean, I understand your logic.
What?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Fist fight on air. No!
Hey. Welcome to episode 37.
Oh, my name is Andy. I play Trollblitz.
My name is Nathan, and I play the violin.
Oh, no, wait. What does Jim do now?
He paints Scorn.
Yep. My name is Jim, and I painted all of Brian's Scorn.
And 99% of Ben's retribution.
My name is Rod. I like to party.
My name is Rod, and I like to.
I don't know.
Your name is not Rod.
My name's Book, and I came to party.
These names. Yes.
That's what it is like on TV when they play. No, nothing. Kill Bill, Volume 1.
Speaking of, my name is Rod, and I like to party. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Is that going to be good?
The commercials look hilarious, but those might be the only funny jokes in the episode.
I'm going to watch at least three episodes. I've decided I need to watch at least three before I can make
because
the
maybe
judgment.
It's like Archer, where the first two episodes you're learning about the characters and they're kind of boring, and then it starts being hilarious.
Or it could be like The Job, though, too. It could be something that's really awesome, but it just fails because it's on a network.
What is hilarious about Archer is that like when you first watch it, it feels like the first two episodes are not good episodes. And they drag, and you're like, oh, this isn't very good. It gets to me. And then you go back and rewatch them, and those first episodes are fucking hilarious. It's just you didn't understand yet.
Yeah. You didn't understand the characters, so they couldn't be funny.
Yeah.
And the stupidity level, you just couldn't quite get there. Yeah. It was just a level below.
Yeah, you have to immerse yourself in that stupidity.
You have to hit buckles. You have to hit rock bottom before you can truly appreciate Archer.
You're the one that's telling me about the story about the person that buried themselves in the outhouse so they could watch people go to the bathroom.
I heard about that. That's full
immersion right there.
Yeah, you don't want to go into that type of immersion.
Speaking of Archer, I did get another Vanguard. I got the one from Casey, the producer of Archer.
Sweet.
It actually delivered. He delivered it to my old address where I haven't lived for a year and a half. So that was a little scary. Because he's like, have you got any? And I'm like, no. He's like, really? I mailed it 2 weeks ago. And so he gave me the tracking number, and it's like DeForest. And I'm like, fuck.
You know what was way more fun than driving all the way out to DeForest and back? Playing a new game by Privateer Press that night.
Asshole. Vanguard.
Oh, you could have played High Command?
Played High Command. Instead, I was driving around desperately trying to get my property from people who may or may not have just thrown it away out of laziness.
But
turns out I got lucky and they didn't.
Did he do anything special with it?
Modded it to be like standing. It's like running up on one foot. Like one of its feet, his legs is fully stretched outright, which is a lot of mod work on a Vanguard. And since he lives in Atlanta, Georgia, the bottle on the back is a Coca-Cola bottle. It's got the swoosh and says Cola and everything.
It's not a Dr. Pepper Coke?
It is not a Dr. Coke.
I was hoping he would Archer it up.
He did not Archer it. He had landed it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know the Four Horsemen are fully modded and assembled. He just needs to paint them. And then Professor Lust's is done. He just needs to mail it. No, not Professor Lust. I'm sorry. That's the Four Horsemen. Why am I blanking? God damn it. Another guy is all done. He needs to mail him, and I feel bad. I can't remember his name. That's all but one accounted for.
I am sad that on Friday when they have the two caster 75-point thing, it's the same time as the the last qualifier spot.
Yeah. Ooh, well, I'm just not going to the last qualifier. I know. So
well,
I
the
just...
thing is, but the thing is, you're going to have like 15 people who've qualified just kind of sifting through those tournaments.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
The other problem with the 75.2 casters is we're not from Atlanta, Georgia, so we don't play that format every single weekend for like 8 hours a day. Those guys are like, you know what? They just own that format because everyone else, we play that game maybe twice a year. You do that, and they just do it weekly.
Festus, Colonel Festus, Eric Festa. That's the other one that's done but not mailed.
No,
good.
Nice,
good job, guys.
Yay!
Yeah, no, I don't expect to. I went 2-2 the last time, and
I can see
and
you going.
Both. I went 2-0, and then I got incredibly drunk, and then I went back and lost my last two games through sheer incompetence. So as long as I don't hit a backlash caster, I'll do okay.
Yeah,
backlash will be bad for that list.
Comically bad.
Yeah.
So your rant. So the internet had this whole anti-painting shenanigans. You ranted on it very well 2 weeks. He just yelled and swore for a while.
I did yell and swear for a while.
And then
it involved wood chippers and dead family.
And then
members.
Focus and Fury. Those guys went off on it for a while. And the forums are. I love that this topic has just not gone away. It just amuses me.
Yeah. It won't
what
go
is
away.
It?
It's about people. Some people think you.
If you don't paint your stuff, you're not worth breathing the same air as them.
Oh, okay.
But very few people
their shit doesn't stink.
Yeah. Right.
Because they paint it.
Yeah, exactly.
The funny thing is almost, there's so few that believe that, but there's some people that still argue like the shades of it. Like I would say 1 in 100 actually believe that.
Right.
But there's like...
They're all going to be vocal to the death about it, though.
But there's like 30 who definitely want painting, but they don't feel it. They don't feel anything worse against it, but they would like to see more painting things. So most of the arguments between them and people who don't want to do anything with painting.
Everybody agrees that models being painted is better than models not being painted. There's nobody that's like, oh, they look a lot better when they aren't painted.
Reason why Privateer ever got a foothold in the industry is because they separated the hobby aspect from the game.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Like, Privateer did that as a direct rebuttal to Games Workshop, and because of it, they smashed out a corner of the market. So you're basically arguing against, like, that's saying something along the lines of you're an American, but you don't believe the Tea Party was any good. The Boston Tea Party.
The original one.
Not the new one, sorry.
No, they're
hilarious.
They are hilarious.
They are adorable.
Funny, but it's like, you know, this is what created the nation. You've got to respect it a little bit.
Yeah.
That would be my take on it. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if, you know, painted games look better.
Well, yeah, of course.
There's
I mean,
no doubt
painted
about
models
it.
Look better. Painted games look better.
And they're more fun to play.
Nobody disagrees with that, ever.
That topic is... I mean, that's one topic that's lasted a very long time. It's interesting to me that topic hasn't really settled down.
It's like...
Is there a lot of people from GW coming over that had that view, and that's why it's starting up more?
There's a lot of people coming over from like 40K and
right.
And there are even some people in that original thread who are even saying that they weren't going as far as saying it's factoring into your score, but saying like for best of faction coins, best painted should be the tiebreak after if it's completely tied, like as far as strength of schedule and stuff.
I could buy that one.
I mean,
maybe I could possibly see that.
Like, if you put it legitimate as the last one, like you have your tournament score, then your strength of schedule, then your control points, then your army points. Like, it's the 17th tiebreaker have best painting.
Yeah,
even
if
it was the fifth, fourth, or fifth, it'll never come down to it. It would be some incentive. I don't see any problem with that.
As being in tournaments where I've only seen it go down to army points, like maybe twice,
right?
Out of all the tournaments I've been in, yeah, I'm okay.
It'd
with
be such painting. A non-issue.
Yeah, it's
you gotta kind of. Pick your battles on something.
And it would have to be painted by you. Stop it, Brian.
It made a sound.
Yes, it did.
Welcome. It's episode 37.
Yeah. No, it is funny how polarizing, I guess. And some people, there were PMs sent about how angry the rant was and stuff. It's like, it's a rant. It's supposed to be over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, we agree with Nathan, but he used a lot of bad words. And he shouldn't use so many bad words.
He sounded really angry. You guys aren't normally that angry.
I couldn't post in a thread too much. I spent 25 hours painting models in the last 6 days, so I didn't have time to rant on the forum because I was fucking. I'm to the point now because I have my army fully painted. I can't.
25
I can't,
hours. You should have been able to paint 17,000 models in that time, according to some of the people in that thread. It takes $4 and 15 minutes to paint everything for a faction.
Yeah, $4 and 15 minutes?
Yeah, because
You get one and you like dry brush and then you highlight and then you dry brush again and you're done. And it takes like 5 minutes and you're done.
I spent 14 hours on my Mammoth and it still looks like shit.
Yes.
I'm like, congratulations, that is barely tabletop quality.
Did Jordan tell you it looked like shit?
he'll just smash with, that is atrocious to just smash with a hammer. Looking at that just gave my brain an aneurysm.
Oh, I would actually kill Jordan. I worked a long time on that fucking base.
Man, that model took a while to paint.
How'd the base turn out? I mean, I saw pictures of it.
It's fine. Like, I mean, the pictures were kind of glitch. I have terrible lighting in my apartment, I've discovered.
No.
It's because it's lit like a sex dungeon.
Because it is a sex dungeon.
Yeah. Well, right. That's that why. Yeah.
When you have flickering fluorescent lights, you know, you should, you know. It's hard to time that.
It's
that
like the perfect Brian's
closet
to the lamps.
Is my favorite closet in the whole world.
There's a lot of things in there.
Remember, apples is my safe word.
Oh, boy. Welcome.
Oh, man. Remember Eurotrip? That scene was hilarious with Xena.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? What, she put a dildo on and fucked some guy in the ass?
Well, she was whipping him. It's like in Amsterdam, and she's a dominatrix, and the safe word is like, Ankh-tu-fak-digen-stugentagen. And so she starts whipping or whatever, and so he can't remember the safe word because he's American and doesn't know what that is, so he just makes up some gibberish that sounds kind of close, and she's like, are you sure? And he's like, yes, I'm sure. And she's like, okay. And then she takes out like a jackhammer dildo, and like two big sweaty guys come out, and that's apparently what he had been shouting for.
That, you know, that movie is very poor because we have Americans going to the WTC for the World Championship.
They should
watch
Eurotrip
to understand the European culture.
Yep. That should be our podcast recommendation.
That
right
movie
now.
Is way better than I expected it to be. I thought the movie was going to be bad, and it was not bad.
I laughed.
It does have a mime.
It was dumb enough to be funny without, like...
The whole Scotty doesn't know Scotty song, doesn't Matt know. Damon. Matt Damon is great in that movie.
That the mime fight, that
the
guy,
mime
Matt
fight,
Damon.
The Pope thing is so drawn out, and you know what? You're like, really? You're going to be this over the top for one gag?
And you get a Hitler reference, which is always important.
You get a great Hitler reference, always enjoyable.
Not as good as the Hitler reference in... forgot the goddamn name of it.
Great story, bro.
Bambi? Yep.
Nope.
There's a good Hitler reference in Bambi.
Yeah.
What? You remember the part where Thumper kills a race? What?
He's pretty.
That's from the director's cut.
Yeah. Oh no, Thumper's the rabbit. Is there a skunk in that?
Yeah,
one?
Named Flower.
Okay.
Yeah, Thumper kills all the skunks.
Well, it'd make more sense if it was Flower because they've already got the gas. Right.
Okay. Now I remember. It's not as good as a Hitler reference in Rat Race.
Yes. Are you crazy? This is Hitler's car.
Oh, my God. Yeah, everybody should watch Rat Race as well.
I was just talking to some people about John Lovitz today because he is a national treasure because he beat the living shit out of Andy Dick. And we should all treasure him for beating the living shit out of Andy Dick because he deserved it. Not just for being Andy Dick, but for getting Phil Hartman killed.
I don't know what just happened.
I don't know.
How did he...
Wasn't it his wife with the gun that got him killed?
Yeah, because she was back on drugs that she had kicked until Andy Dick gave them to her like a week prior to that and got her back addicted to drugs, so she went insane and murder-suicided.
Oh.
And then Andy Dick bragged about that to some people a couple years later because he thought it was funny, so John Lovitz beat the fuck out of him in a bar.
I have to say, I have to snoop that to validate it, but if true, I respect him greatly.
Yeah.
We need the internet to tell us if things are true.
That's all you do in
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's all right. Anyway, while Andy's Wikipediaing John Lovitz beating the shit out of Andy Dick, we had topics we were going to talk about, but they were all War Machine related, and we have somebody on the cast that doesn't play War Machine anymore.
And we had a board.
You played lots of board games. Yeah, talk about your board games. Game People day. Like board games.
You played Blood Bowl Team Manager.
I did not.
Oh, it's so good. That's my summary of Blood Bowl Team Manager. So good.
That game is fantastic. Although I didn't like the vampire counts very much.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
It was still the funnest game ever, but.
What games did you play today, Andy? You played
Our first game that we played Sentinels. The hell was that?
I opened a soda.
Nate's butt just made the greatest noise ever.
Holy
shit. It was a soda. You played what now?
We played Sentinels.
The multiverse. That was a fantastic game that takes 3 hours or so to play.
Yeah, we ended up with a really crazy combination of the villain that summons zombies and the Tombs of Anubis.
The games that I've played / watched do seem a little long. Well, I don't know how much of that is just, you know, that everything's still new to people.
It's kind
of
play newer. A 30-minute game on
it. It can go quick, but it depends on the combinations that you have of the villains.
Sure.
And the heroes.
Like, the hero I had was really dependent on having, like, a lot of wanted posters out. And the villain and the environment that we were fighting in kept on forcing us to discard cards, so I had no cards the whole goddamn game. It was pretty horrendous.
The random length, that's why I did it. I really want to play Fortune and Glory because I have all the Gen Con expansions, or they came out Gen Con, but I didn't bring it up because I wasn't sure, because that game could go long, and I try to keep my... When I have a board game day, I try to keep all my games under 2 hours. But, you know, Sentinels could be an hour, I just don't know.
It should be
under 2 hours. Yeah. But, I mean, if
it's kind of like some of those Steve Jackson games, like Illuminati or something, where it can be over an hour and a half and can take 4 hours and you never know going into it.
No, you would know going into it if you played the game enough.
Sure.
Because they played a combination of heroes that just couldn't get past their environment, so they could never beat the villain.
Right, and I guess if experienced players would have looked at that and said, oh, this will be awful.
Right, and then they would have switched out two of the heroes for more direct damage heroes, and they would have been fine.
Sure, sure.
So you played Sentinels first.
Sentinels first, and then we tested out, we played another
Didn't you play couple, Epic Spell Wars?
Yeah, we played a couple rounds of Epic Spell Wars, which is an amazing game.
It's more about like a casual, drinky, fun game.
Yeah, we had six players in it, and it did not go very long, so we only had three games that we played, though, finally.
Did you play anything new to you, or did you just play some of your own games?
We did play the final game, which was Boss Monster.
Which you picked that up recently, right?
Yeah, that was just picked up within the last... I think it was... I'm not sure if it's actually for sale yet. I think it was available at Gen Con.
Okay. I've seen it on the shelf.
Yeah, it was out before Gen Con, actually.
Okay. But it's a... You build a dungeon, you have your boss monster, you're the boss monster, and then you build a dungeon to lure heroes into your dungeon to kill them or just get them away from other players. The heroes do damage to you if they make it through your dungeon. If you kill them, then you get souls. The first person to 5 health loss is the game ends, and you just count up how many souls other people have. It's kind of fun.
So it's like that Dungeon Master game. What was the PC game where you Dungeon Keeper, where you built up a big dungeon and then the little guys come in and you kill them.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yep. It's simple. I wouldn't recommend it as like an everyday game. It's not something you're going to sit down and play all the time, but as a once in a while kind of a filler, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't play any new games either. Ben Cohn came and he had some games, but I played one game of Waterdeep, with expansions. It was my second game with expansion. We played 5 players.
Any time from now on you say you played Waterdeep, I'm going to assume it was with the expansion with both new maps, because there's no reason to ever play that game again without
the
expansion.
Then we did a game of Global Team Manager, which I mentioned. Then I wanted to play one of Ben Cohen's games, but he had to leave at the time, so we ended up playing another game of Waterdeep.
Yeah, I played the exact same games as Brian, and I played the expansions for his first time in Waterdeep, and it is night and day. I thought the game was okay before. Way better than Kalos, which I'd wipe my ass with.
You played Kalos once, and you got grumpy for some reason.
I will say, I don't think we played...
Literally everyone else on the planet does not believe with that.
I think Agricola is not fun at 4 players. When he played Kalos, it was 5 players. And I will say, I don't think Kalos is that much fun at 5 players.
Sure.
So I think that was part of it. I think he played it at a player level that was not as enjoyable. Because that was my least favorite of all the games I've played with 5 people. Some games aren't, but anyway... I wanted to play some other games, but Ben had to leave, and then someone else had a game, but he had to leave. So I basically, I also in Waterdeep, I had the lore that gave me points for corruption.
Yeah,
but because
absolutely hideous,
it was because the game ended. I had like 3 or 4 of them, so I got 12 points or 14 or 16 points. But then it was at 4, so I got 0 points. You still
it basically. Yeah, I mean that's the thing is he seems to,
and I was spamming that board like crazy. At some points, I just had something get removed. I mean, I used once every turn. I used it once or twice.
Right.
The more you use it, the worse he gets. So it's just completely worthless.
Well, on the other hand, I mean he ended up getting 0 points from his lord, but he also lost 0 points from corruption. So the question is, how many more quests did he achieve because extra powers?
Because everybody else was getting
20 point, 120 point quest is equivalent to any other lord. Sure.
Everybody else was using the corruption things too, but we were using cards that mitigated them in between. And so his lord basically gave him maybe 2 or 3 extra actions the entire game, where each of our lords was giving us like 28 or 30 victory points. You cannot get 28 victory points in 3 actions.
There's a lot
it's
of cards
impossible.
That remove corruption from the game, so it makes that board even more deadly. Like I just couldn't gather because there was constantly things being removed
from
the game.
It just seems lords in general seem to give 24 points. That's the most common value I see from them is 24.
Okay. 24 to me would be, I would say, on the low side of average.
24
especially
to 20.
With the expansion. The expansion, you get to do a lot more quests, a lot more.
But I mean,
that'd be the only thing is he does look terrible on his face. The only thing you guys could see is that if the extra actions worth of stuff gets him 28 points worth of quests, then he's as good as another lord. But
as good as the other worst possible lord.
I wouldn't mind seeing someone else trying him out to see what happens. I also think I kind of want to play where you get 2 lords and you can pick one.
Sure.
To basically remove that guy from the game.
If you don't want to play the guy, or if you feel brave right. and you want to try it, you know, good for you. But if you get that guy and you, I went all on corruption, and at one point I had like 8 corruption.
There's other ones you can get that are really not very good either. Like Warfare Arcana is not very good, right?
Yeah. And especially if you got to look at them after you saw your starting quests, so that you don't just get boned with a guy who needs to, you know, warf. Even if you get like War for Piety, if all you start with is Skullduggery Arcana, it's like, well, I'm just behind everybody else already.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mean,
I wonder if that guy would be too good if he ignored corruption as well.
Probably, because then you
I wonder
jam
if that's
it
what
minus.
They meant. No, but, the, oh, then you jam it to -9 and you'd be like, whatever, I got 15
the
of
errata
them at 4
specific,
per.
It'd be errata, there's an FAQ that specifically calls it that doesn't do that.
Yeah, so he would be worth 60 almost every time probably then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be too much of the opposite.
And everyone problem. Would know what you had, and they wouldn't be able to stop you, probably.
Why do you have 14 corruption on your back? Yeah. Well, I don't know a reason.
Yeah. Because nobody else would be able to battle you, because every time they took one, it'd be just hideous.
True. I mean, there's got to be a value to those things that would be worth it. Like, if they were worth 6 or something to them,
yep.
then maybe.
I think they'd have to be worth 7 or 8. Well, but then if it's always positive, then it's going to make you always want to do it again.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is there needs to be...
I think he was just a badly tested Lord.
Yeah.
Well, the game's so fun.
Oh, man.
Odd Lord.
With the expansions, that's one of the better games I've ever played. It's one of those games where I don't care if I win or lose because it's actually just fun to play, which is really rare for me because I'm usually pretty competitive.
And you won your first game of it ever.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was my first game of it ever.
But
I won a game in the expansion, which I wasn't expecting because the expansion kind of doesn't allow you to plan and plot quite as much because there's a lot more going on.
Yeah.
So it's more of a Brian style game, I think, where you're like reacting to the exact moment.
Well, the expansion adds a lot more intrigue card usage.
Yep.
A lot.
Yeah, it's overall way more fantastic.
And man, some of the new quests in the expansion, one of the quests in the expansion I didn't get to buy because it came up right at the end, but it's a piety quest where once you have it out, you can complete quests that are on the track.
Yeah. I had that the first game and I was just brutalizing
That's
with
obscene.
It.
That's obscene.
I tried for second at the end, but yeah.
I got it the second game, but I just did not have a good combo. The middle was just not agreeing with...
I would say that your problem in the second game is you got it, but you had no focus on what you were trying to do early in the game because your Lord was so bad.
Yeah, so it was just all.
You were just screwed from the beginning.
And I kind of grabbed someone else would get it too. Josh tried to get us to play. Well, unfortunately, Josh showed up because he brought Super Dungeon Explorer, which he's been dying to play, but that's another like 3-hour game. It's like when he came halfway through the day and no one really was up to play a 3-hour game.
Yeah, he came after our Sentinels game, and that lasted about 2 hours too, and that should have not gone that long.
I think for board game days, people will play a 3-hour game as their first game, but after that, you're pretty much into the 1-hour, 90-minute games, which is fine.
Right.
That eliminates a few of my games.
Whatever. Next board game day, we need to sit down and play like an 8-hour game.
Will you
Greyhawk
show up?
Wars.
Yes. Yeah.
Set up Greyhawk Wars. That'd be fun. Oh.
Dune.
I was trying to talk some people. They were playing that, what is the Power Grid?
Power Grid.
I was trying to talk them into trying Scepter of Zabendor over that.
Yeah. Scepter, I think, is strictly better than Power Grid.
I wouldn't say strictly better. Here's the only difference is in Power Grid, you get the little map that you get to draw out and try to block people with, which is different. So it's not strictly better. It's just better.
It is not directly analogous. It does have slight differences, yes.
Like, there's definitely games where it's like, okay, this game is just like this game.
But better.
Blood Bowl versus Privateers High Commander, I would say, is one of those situations. Blood Bowl is very, very similar to High Commander, but it's just better tested and better designed, and it's just more fun, in my opinion.
But getting people to play that just because it'd be harder to get people to play because it's so different. And it's
right, because Privateers got fluff that you probably know people that like, whereas not as many people know Blood Bowl.
Yeah, I might take a pen and write limit one per player on the masks in Scepter, and then my only objection to it will go out the window.
No, but last time when I got 2 masks, you're like, oh, I can still beat you, and we kept
playing.
I was
wrong. Like, that was best case scenario. Like, I've always said if someone gets 2 masks, you just call the game. And that time I was like, no. This is the best possible situation to be in. Like, it'll never be closer to being false, and it was still true. So that was good proof of concept.
Nate was like, oh, I can still beat you. I believe it. So I got to play for 45 more minutes just whomping everybody. I just steamrolling and getting more and more out in the lead. It was so hilarious to watch Brian rage.
I was like, why are we playing? Nathan, I got this. I know math. Number's good. The game ends. Jim has 4 billion points. Nathan has 1.5. Points. Everyone else has zero.
I was pretty much lapping people. It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
So
I enjoyed it.
To be fair, if I had 2 extra turns that Jim didn't have, I would have been fine.
I think we could have all kind of came across.
If as soon as I got two masks, I had to stop playing.
Yes, yes. Oh, fucking two masks. Should not be allowed.
People, I don't know what that means. Good. You don't want to know what it means. It means you no longer have fun. Some games, I mean, there are other games that have that mechanic.
Three of the four people no longer have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scepter has one of my two favorite tiebreaks, which is the people who die and play another game of Scepter. That's the official tiebreak, which in my previous board gaming group, we just made that the tiebreak for everything. Like, if you tied in Lords of Waterdeep, you had to play a game of Scepter. and then the other, I forget which game it is, but there's a game that the official tiebreak in the rules is Fisticuffs. And on the end page, you know, they have, like, strategy and tips for players. It says, in case of a tie, strike early.
Yeah, it's actually pretty much proven that whoever punches first in a fight has, like, a way higher chance of winning it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
Because they're not stunned and bleeding.
Right.
When I look at you, Nathan, I always want to punch you.
Thank you.
That seems like a good game for you guys to play, then. Yeah.
When I look at you, I always want to be punched.
I would vomit.
Apples.
Mosh Lucan!
Is that from your trials in the dungeon?
Yes.
The Brian's closet.
It's a wonderful place.
Man.
There's more pink in there than you think.
Speaking of torture, I only have two more episodes of Arrested Development left. Almost done. Yeah.
I only watched a couple of them. It seems like their main weakness in it was just the fact that they couldn't get all the cast together at the same time.
Which wasn't intentional and was foisted upon them, and I understand that, but it sure does make it suffer. Especially a couple of the scenes with Liza Minnelli, she's so blatantly green-screened, it's embarrassing. And the ADR is also bad. Like, people's dialogue doesn't match up with their mouths because they had to do a lot of recording after the fact. It's just, it's so badly executed, it's kind of sad.
It's kind of a bad strike against the idea of Netflix for TV, huh?
But their House of Cards, it's mostly because House of Cards got like 14.
A lot of people seem to love that thing.
Orange the New Black is really popular, so those two are really good. So they've had like four or five, and those two are
just trying to revive something that was already dead.
And Arrested Development is still kind of like, I mean, everyone agrees it's definitely suffers, but it's
still.
It
wasn't as revived, you know, it's kind of like the story of the Monkey's Paw where they revive the kid and he's still like rotted and stuff. Like, they didn't revive it right.
Right.
You know, they
maybe they will with the movie, though, because wasn't the idea of just give some people a taste and then do a movie?
Yeah.
I mean,
because at the movie they'll all be together.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's getting all the cast there at the same time. I think is really where it gelled completely.
Yeah,
and the fact that they weren't all together is just not right. It's not as good.
You don't have that group that chemistry.
The Tobias episode.
I can't say that.
You have 9 minutes of Buster up until episode 11. That's just not acceptable.
I was about to spoil fourth book Game of Thrones on Andy. I realized I couldn't.
Oh no. Yes,
but but the Tobias episode is still one of the best ones.
Tobias good. Actually, the Job episode I really enjoyed as well.
You mean Gob?
Yes, the Gob episode.
In my brain,
I said Gob. That's why I hesitated. I corrected myself to Job. Yeah, the Gob episode was pretty good.
I need to finish that series, too. I was stuck at, I think, like episode 10.
It honestly is, though. Like, what? It's like doing homework. Like, I sit there and I watch it just stone-faced and unentertained, and then it ends. I'm like, okay, check. Three more to go.
At least a couple of lessons was that there are some jokes that, you know, that finally pay off after episode, like, two. Like, oh, I get it now. I still love for end of the first one, the Oscar just runs over.
Yes, ostrich out of nowhere.
Talking about doing homework, we watched two movies yesterday, Jim. We watched Two Guns.
Two Guns was really fantastic if you have no taste in movies. So if you have absolutely no taste in movies, like you thought Transformer 2 was really good.
You're going to love this one.
And yeah, you are going to... You should go rent Two
like
Guns
the first,
immediately.
The first, like, 20 minutes of the movie was actually good. Up until the point when you saw in the trailers, that, you know, the identity of the characters are basically revealed to each other.
Right.
At that point in the movie is where it sucks.
Yeah.
From that point on.
It was supposed to be like this kind of almost like a buddy cop movie where neither one of them realized the other was a cop. Like they're a DA agent and like a special ops guy.
So they're like both undercover.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And that part of the movie, it's really funny and they could have just kept going and it would have been pretty good. But then they find out and then they add all this convoluted plot line, like a conspiracy plot line that keeps bouncing around without going anywhere. It's like, what are you guys doing? It's so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. Like, the worst part about the movie is, one, it had potential to be funny, and you saw that in first 20 minutes, and then they ruined it, which is like a movie like... there's a lot of movies
like
that
X-Men
do that.
Origins Wolverine
right.
was like that. Like, it was really going good.
A lot of movies do that. I thought a lot of people like X-Men 2. I didn't.
But the reason I didn't like it is because that first scene with Nightcrawler
is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and then the rest of the movie is like, I could live without this.
Sure.
I mean, it's all like for when you go from the greatest thing ever to no thanks, it's just such a kick in the balls because the potential was there and not realized.
My counterpoint kind of agrees with you. I think the next scene's the greatest with Wolverine in the school, but it's still the first half of the movie.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Wolverine running around murdering
the movie starts at the peak of the mountain and falls. Or, sure. It's at a plateau, and then it just falls.
But some movies do it worse. Like,
even if it doesn't fall, like, I mean, that's the thing.
That was just my example. Yeah. I wasn't saying it's the worst example.
No. I mean, there are a lot of, I've seen so many movies like that, though.
If you go from an A+ to a B-, even if B- is still good, it feels like a drop in quality is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like you don't have to go potential. All the way down to an F.
Yeah. This was Two Guns went from, like, a B to, like, a D.
I'd say B+. The comedy between the two was pretty good.
But it definitely ends at a D.
Yeah,
it's got a bad tail.
But some movies start bad and they get surprisingly good. The third act, you're like, holy crap! Then
those are the movies you rate higher.
I think just because it's like that last act was so brilliant.
Yeah,
maybe the first act was horrible, but they pulled it all together so well.
Brent Weeks books.
Yeah. Like, apparently, if you managed to time it right and walked into Lone Ranger just to watch the big climax with the train and then left, apparently it'd be, like, the greatest 20 minutes of your life. It's what the reviews say. I'm not going to risk it, but apparently that one, like, climax is amazing.
I'll let that movie just fast forward the last 20 minutes.
And then
I almost saw that yesterday.
The second movie we rented was Mud.
Theater. Yeah.
And Mud was not profound and not exciting. So that was kind of a disappointing 3 hours.
I wouldn't go saw Your Next. A very enjoyable horror movie. They didn't reinvent the wheel. It's your classic home invasion. People are killing them killing the people in the house. But someone in the house was kind of smart, which
throws a curveball.
Usually,
it.
It's always everyone in the house just runs in circles and gets killed. And
or when they do finally kill somebody, it gets rewound by the guy's partner.
Someday I'm going to meet that guy who made funny people, and I'm going to punch him in the face repeatedly. I dislike that guy more than Michael Bay because of that scene.
Yeah. I don't think punching him would be right. I think you just fucking choke him to death.
Well, I would punch him and start choking him. That was the assumed.
But don't you get? You were the victim of the movie.
That
was the point.
Wait, what?
The movie is like, I've
never seen Funny People. I've seen the trailers and I
watch it.
Oh yeah, funny games. Well, Funny People is a guy that has got cancer.
You think it's just going to be like a slasher flick, and then the director, it's like some highbrow commentary about America's taste in violent movies or whatever. So. Like, literally, it breaks the fourth wall. Like, the villains talk to the audience and everything. And at one point, one of the villains gets killed, and the other villain rewinds the movie and then prevents him from getting killed.
Wait,
it's like Spaceballs?
Picks up a random remote control, rewinds the movie 5 minutes, and then stops the good new person.
How the fuck is that a good plot
way
point?
Worse.
The thing is that Spaceballs works.
It was horrible.
Because it's 75% of the way in the movie. It's been very serious, and it's been very slow paced. So you think you finally reach the point of action, and you finally reach the point that something's going to happen, and then it gets rewound.
And then they kick you right in the balls.
I almost broke your TV, I swear to God. If that was my TV, I would have put my through shoot.
You would have Elvis? You would have Elvis that TV?
I almost did. I swear to God. I still remember the moment. He'll get mad at me, but it's probably worth it. I'll love $1,000.
I'm pretty sure we both backed away in revulsion.
Yeah, it was.
I don't even remember what happened. But it was just like a black hole in your mind after happened.
Horrible idea.
He's being clever.
The interesting thing is that movie's like a shot-for-shot remake of his own movie, because like he's... some European country, I forget, like Danish or whatever. And so he made that movie, and maybe that works in their culture. Like, maybe it was something, whatever. But then he shot for shot remade it in English for the American audience, and it's like,
everyone
what is this
was
garbage?
Just puking on each other in the theater. Yeah.
But Your Next is not like that. It's actually fun. It's
like Home Alone meets Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, exactly. it's pretty good. It doesn't reinvent, like I said, it doesn't reinvent the wheel. It's your classic horror movie, but it has someone in the house is actually somewhat prepared to deal with it.
I'm not as much of a horror guy as you, which is why we chose the other movies, I think. But
we were sadly
disappointed.
If anybody looks at what was available for Labor Day weekend, for movies,
it's depressing.
It is horrible.
Hey, four day weekend.
There
for
is
most
the
people.
Butler. You guys, when the Butler.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey.
Me, Raylene, and Robert. We were going to go to Taste of Madison, but we couldn't find parking within a 5 mile radius, so we gave up. We ate at Taquiria Guadalajara, the greatest Mexican restaurant on the planet, and then we went to Pegasus to look at the garage sale. Number one, someone was selling Space Alert. Who the hell owns Space Alert and then gets rid of it? I want to find that person and beat him to death with their own dick.
I think Sean would have liked that game. And I forgot
nobody had
it
bought it. It was left over. Nobody had bought it. That's it. Saddens me. Number three, somebody was selling Battle Masters.
I almost bought it.
And I saw it sitting there for $30. I'm like, oh my god! If Raylene wasn't sitting next to me, I would buy this right now.
When I played that game as a kid, I'd always play the Empire and I'd stack the cannon deck, and I'd be like, fly, fly, bounce on that, fly, bounce on that. Boom, your ogre's dead.
I actually told Raylene that, like, yesterday. I'm like, by the way, Jim used to play this game and he'd stack the cannon deck. No lie.
No lie, I did
that. Then we went on back and we saw Robert had not seen Iron Man 3 or Lone Ranger. And we're like, we'll let you pick, Robert. And he picked Iron Man 3.
And did you kiss him?
You almost did the gauntlet.
Well, I disliked it less the second time I saw it. I didn't like it the first time I saw it.
Oh, you didn't like it. Oh, I thought that was a fantastic movie. I thought it captured the spirit of the first one that the second missed.
I still disliked several things, especially like in the last 5 minutes. Like, hey, here's a bunch of stuff that can save the world many, many times from villains, but I'm so pussy-whipped I'm going to self-destruct all of it. Fuck you. And also, hey, Rhodes, I'm going to leave you to possibly die in this horrible, dangerous situation because, wink, wink, none of my suits will work on you because they only work on me. By the way, my girlfriend's going to use them in about 45 seconds from now. How come she can use a suit?
Because she...
I thought it was the AI of the suit was flying her around.
She grabbed a random suit out of the air and cut its arm off and then started using it to shoot people.
Because he would have her do that. That's part of their kinky...
Yeah, it's possible he might have...
Is it now?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Or are you just explaining this?
No. It's obvious. If a movie
is fun and interesting, it doesn't have to be perfect in every logical way. Like, trying to dig into a movie like that is what critics do, and that's why all the time, like, Two Guns had good critic reviews, kind of. It was fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It's because they sat and dug part by part through the movie, and they didn't see anything that people should hate. But the whole movie was unenjoyable, and that's why you should hate it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, sitting and digging, like, nitpicks. There's nitpicks in Fifth Element. That's a great movie. There's a lot of them in Fifth Element. Well, like, 112. Sure. Like, you could nitpick every scene in that movie. Every single one. It's still a great movie.
Here's my thing. Next week, we have to have an event because the next Riddick movie comes out.
Yep. With the same plot as the first one.
They're re-releasing the first one in the theaters, right?
I think he's hiding on the first planet. I think that's purpose. I think he went to the first planet just to hang out. To me, it's not that big of a deal because he's like, you know what?
I hope.
It's not the same beast, though.
I think it is.
No. They come out, like, in water in that.
No, it's all nighttime.
It's all nighttime. It rained on that planet.
Yeah.
Once it was dark out, it would rain. When it was light out, it wouldn't.
Well, why would you go back to the same fucking planet?
Because he knows that anybody would be stupid to go there.
He's fairly safe there himself.
I guess he can deal with them. If it is the same planet, then it's even cooler. If it's not the same planet, I'll be annoyed.
If it's not the same planet, but it's interesting and fun and good and the characters aren't any, who cares?
And I
found Iron Man to be enjoyable, and I definitely agree there are some issues, but it was just... More there's also like a graph of enjoyable to ridiculous. To me, a movie with the one guy with the guns and he shoots people.
Shoot him up.
See, there you go. Yep. That movie is so fucking retardedly bad.
But that's a different scale.
They made it so it's so great. I watch it every once a month.
I'm not immune to that. Like, Battleship is an awful movie and it's a glorious movie at the same time. You know, there's those movies that are dumb and they're fun because of it. And then there's movies like Transformers 2 that just blow ass. Those are different scales.
Correct. I agree.
Yeah. I will say, though, I did enjoy parts of Battleship more than, like, Transformers.
When you pointed out that they used the red pegs from the game, like, they legit used the pegs as weapons, my head exploded. Iron Man 3, everything with the kid is golden. I want a spin-off TV show of just Iron Man and that kid.
Robert Downey is really good at being an asshole somehow.
Yeah, who'd have guessed? Dad's leave, no need to be a pussy about
that's
it.
That's why
anyway.
I actually don't like him in any other movie. Because he's never, like, himself in those other movies. You can tell that he's not himself, and it takes away from the movie.
Have you seen Kiss? I think he's great at Kiss King Bang Bang.
Is he a complete asshole the whole time?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's fine. He can't act. He can only be himself.
In my opinion, his best movie.
His earlier stuff is not bad, too.
Once he got off the coke, he wasn't as good.
True.
I was going to say, like, Robin Williams also.
Man, the government just needs to force-feed Robin Williams some cocaine so we can get comedy back.
He had his heart attack, so he's a little bit cautious.
Robin Williams with Sarah Michelle Gellar
are two people that I could care less to see in one show. No, no, is he sweet?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I heard.
No, Robin Williams and Sarah Michelle Gellar are in that new comedy that's on network TV, and it looks just hideous.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
Horrible.
Yep.
But I do not
like only Robin if Robin Williams. Williams is a vampire, then it might be good.
Ooh.
Maybe.
That's exciting.
Wow. No. Just no.
And then I painted my scorn.
We had Pee Wee Herman as a vampire. That was worth it.
Well, yeah, that was in the first Buffy.
Yes, it was. It was great.
Yep.
I miss Paul Rubens. He needs to come back some more.
He had a special, like I think, like last year for his Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yep. He did.
His anniversary.
Basically, a redo of the original Pee Wee Herman show. Yeah.
That was awesome. It was on the. I think it was on HBO.
But, what's the next
topic? I can't believe we watched that stuff as a kid. Pee Wee's Playhouse is just so like crazy. It's like mind-blowingly crazy. And then you watch stuff that kids watch today, and it's awful.
Oh no! Some of the new stuff is great.
That's like on Saturday morning cartoons is awful.
Yeah, you have to look for the things that are like
talk to Travis and Hacksaw sometime about them and their kids and TV shows.
Yeah. To be fair, as adults, we should really enjoy some of that. Hopefully, if we're like that's pretty good, maybe we have problems.
Travis and Hacksaw do like their kids' TV shows.
Well, I mean,
think of it. Travis is pretty much a mentally challenged, so I can understand him. And Hacksaw, he's drunk all the time, so those guys are gonna like the kids' stuff because they have problems.
Dexter's Lab. You know, stuff like that was amazing. We were in our 20s when that show was on. So, I mean, you can make kids shows that are legit entertaining to older audiences. I mean, C-Lab. Everybody likes the C-Lab.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Any of the Getty Tartakovsky stuff.
Or a Pixar film, I guess.
You know.
Yeah, any Pixar film is really good.
I don't know. I guess I have selective memory because I'm just picking out the good stuff and leaving the bad stuff. That's why everything, like... from the past seems better.
It's always dangerous watching something that you liked as a kid because there's always a chance that it turns out that it sucked.
Yeah, but at the same time, like if you go back and you're like, I'm going to put in something from the 90s that's really good, you're not going to put in Britney Spears. You know, for music, you're going to put in Nirvana.
I'm talking older. One of my favorite shows as a kid was Hong Kong Phooey. I love Hong Kong Phooey. And then it was on like Cartoon Network like 6-7 years ago, and I saw an episode. I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It broke my nostalgia.
What was the Wacky Racers show?
Yeah, Wacky Racers.
That one. Yeah, those are awesome.
That one's still good.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you tried watching it recently?
I can become a kid again. Yeah, I can watch it and still enjoy it.
I tried watching like Masters of the Universe.
Oh, and that
TV show, I can't do it. Same thing with even
the
new one is good.
The movie holds up, though.
Yeah, the movie definitely holds.
God damn it, Brian.
Stop fucking around with everything.
No.
Welcome to episode
37. You're lucky that there's not a scissors in here is all I'm saying.
I would cut this one right in half.
Yep.
The only bright side about The Onion not existing in physical form anymore is that Brian can't randomly destroy my copy of The Onion while I'm reading it. He did that so many times. You just come and I'd be reading The Onion, he'd be like, oh, rip.
It was a game we played. We had fun.
I watched him one day upstairs while we were roommates. He took his scissors to everyone's bill checks. Like, all of our bills, he's just cutting them up. Like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, there was the scissors here. You're cutting up all our rent checks.
Son of a bitch.
Well, there was a scissors. I don't understand.
That'll explain why the rent company was upset.
There was a scissors.
Raylene has a slightly terrifying story of when Robert was like, 6 or something, she fell asleep, and when she woke up, he had taken the scissors and cut, like, the carpet, the couch foam out from around her. Like, the shape of her, just all the foam he just cut off with, like, scissors or, like, a butcher knife or something. So apparently he'd just been, like, using her like a stencil and carved around her to destroy the rest of the cushion.
Wow.
So that's kind of like you. Only this is slightly more terrifying.
And he lives with you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we keep him away from knives. He has a special helmet.
Dr. Tolley's not supposed to be around sharp metal objects.
He's got to run. He can dig.
One of my favorite stories is back when I played Magic, we went to a tournament in Chicago. I went with this. I was like 20. I went with a 16-year-old kid. He is like my friend's younger brother. He was a really cool kid. But he had lost in the tournament or whatever. He's like, I'm going to go out in your car and sleep. So I gave him my keys. I went out there like 3 hours later. The door is open and he's gone. I'm like, and we looked everywhere for him. We called the cops. He had sleptwalked through the middle of Chicago. Yeah, out of my car, like down to a subdivision, and he was hiding in the bushes from the cops. It took forever to find him. Oh, fuck. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, he's just missing from my car. Like,
That's a phone call you don't want to make to the parents. Yeah,
yeah, I know. I was like
somewhere in the city,
his dad was my boss. So I was gonna have to call his dad. Like, I lost your son, and you're fired. You know, there's no other option.
Wow, that's a phone call.
Bangkok has him now.
And then, yeah, there was some semi-driver, like, that kid that was on drugs, he went running that way. They were going to, like, drug test him everything. Oh, man, that was quite the day. It's amazing how something so scary can be so funny to you afterwards.
Oh, I mean, as soon as it's, like, resolved, the right. panic level just changes immediately, but the in-between time.
So do we have an agenda today?
We already got through about an hour of the show without one.
One, who's the boss cards?
I got them.
Excellent.
Two, basing for Doom.
Basing for Doom, yep. I did bring the basing for Doom.
What the hell is basing for Doom, by
basing
the way?
For Doom. So, okay, to let everybody know what's happening is they're reading off my shopping list for Gen Con to make sure I had everything with me. And one of them was
for the game Doom.
Basing for Doom Shaper.
Oh, Doom Shaper.
Yeah.
Not like Dr. Doom or Gerd's Doom Dance.
No.
Okay. That makes more sense.
What is this one? Extra Imbubu Banks.
What?
Extra
Imbubu Bank. Right there.
Oh, yeah. Extra Yeah. All right. That's extra Imbubu Banks.
All right, let me see.
I'm sure if I wrote it, it'd be much clearer.
Oh, no, that's extra Incubi and Banes.
Yeah.
Banes doesn't have a K in it.
Well, I scribbled it out, so you're trying to read it.
Shorthand, obviously. You put it
that's okay. Last episode, I had a scribble that turned into an entire 15-minute discussion, so I'll allow that.
All right, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Our agenda is done.
So we have recommendations?
I think so. We're through the agenda.
We're only at 50 minutes in.
I think it's better for everyone involved if we end this.
I didn't play board games today.
What did your day involve today?
I woke up and then I played some Diablo and then Raylene woke up.
What happened?
That was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And Raylene woke up.
Nate, today if you want to go to board games, I can pick you up on the way.
Oh, that'd be great. I did like that you invited me to a movie 4 hours after the movie.
And
that
he
was
invited
masterful.
You beforehand.
He invited me 6 minutes beforehand.
Nope.
Or something. 16?
Nope.
It's
nope.
like 20.
I gave you plenty of time.
BS.
We were on the east side.
Plenty
though,
of time.
So
yeah. Yeah, I know it wasn't plenty of time.
It was plenty of time for you to get
you
there.
You could have made it.
Hey,
you're lucky you didn't make
it. You could drive. At 1:34, you invited me to the 1:50 showing of something that was on the other side of town.
Why were you on the east side of town?
Because that's the only place it was playing during the day, and we didn't want to spend $10 on that movie. Which
you said,
was the only good decision we made regarding
that
movie.
You said personally it takes 10 minutes to get to DeForest. And that's in between.
Yeah, I could have gotten there, but it would have been like as the movie was starting.
Anyway, yeah. I'm enthralled by your yesterday. You woke up, Raylene woke up.
And then she went back to sleep to take a nap. And then she woke up again, and we watched Hunchback of Notre Dame because I'd never seen it, the Disney one.
Oh, my God.
And
so
it
sounds awful.
Yeah. Hey, it had Tony Jay, and Tony Jay has like the greatest voice in the history of voiceover artists.
Tony Jay. Oh, he's the,
yes.
the Kung Fu guy that did the thing with the elephants. Yep.
What?
Tony Ja?
Wow.
Wow.
So that's why you missed board game days.
Oh, Jim, I was so mad because I was on Facebook and somebody posted in their Facebook, is Metroid's gun part of his suit or is it attached to his arm?
Mm-hmm.
And his friends, of course, took the bait and started screaming
Rage
at him.
Out. Yep.
And so I then came in there and said, here's some funny trivia. Despite normally being a girl's name, the guy you play as in Legend of Zelda, you know, the elf you play as in Legend of Zelda is actually a guy. And then, of course, they raged on me. And I'm like, did you not notice this entire fucking thread is a troll thread? Like, how are you? I was so mad that it worked. Like, this wasn't supposed to be successful.
Zelda's a girl?
What? Does Zelda ever end up rescuing the princess?
I don't think so. That's why it's a legend.
Right.
It's myths.
Woohoo.
Anyway, Tony Jay's awesome. I'm sad he's dead.
The
he died in one of his kung fu stunts?
Yeah, an elephant trampled him.
An elephant trampled him.
don't know. So if you could have one voice, would it be his, James Earl Jones, Keith David, or Vincent Price?
Vincent Price from The Price is Right?
Yes.
The Vincent Price is Right? That'd be awesome.
That would be a fun show. He's not dead yet.
Now Vincent you can Price buy is this dead. That's my Vincent Price impression.
Why don't you do Crocodile Dundee?
What is happening?
Well, that's not a knife.
That is so great.
I love that it took you like a half hour to figure out I was doing a Crocodile Dundee impression.
That's like, man, Nate's talking to me in a retard voice for some reason. I don't understand.
Nate had a stroke. Somebody should call an ambulance. Nate had a stroke.
And I took a break and I finally sat down and it dawned on me like, oh, that's horrible.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
This one day at work, I came up to Jim and he had his box cutter and I said, that's not a knife. And then like a half hour later, he come up to me and he was like, was that supposed to be Crocodile Dundee?
It's funny now. I get it.
Yes.
Oh, it was a great day.
The correct answer, by the way, was Keith David. You wish you had Keith David's voice. Come on, if you could just sound like Goliath from Gargoyles all the time. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Darth Vader's pretty sweet, too, though.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of David Prowse.
You're too clever today.
Actually, subtle troll.
Actually, Clancy Brown does a lot of good voices, too.
I don't know who that is.
The Kurgan?
Oh, yeah.
I would say the black guy from the movie, but that's probably not true.
No.
No, that's Keith David.
No, it's Mario Van Peebles.
Mario Van Peebles is not
black. He's the black guy.
I really like Mario Van Peebles in Saved by the Bell.
What the fuck? You're thinking of Terry Crews.
No, I'm not.
Who, by the way, he's the best part of the new Arrested Development is the fact that Terry Crews is involved. I love him and everything. He was the best part of White Chicks.
White Chicks. Good stuff.
No, not good stuff, but the 5 minutes worth of Terry Crews that was on there.
All right, so we could jump into recommendations. Oh, nobody did any Zappity Grumble, so.
Thank God for them.
We don't want to tip off to Katie and Jeremy that we're recording without them.
They don't care.
I know they don't care either. They're doing nothing.
With their iPads.
Nothing.
So I recommend you to listen to this podcast because it was awful.
Put that fine. At the beginning.
I mean, it was fine enough. I recommend go see You're Next. That's my recommendation. I enjoyed it, and I'm recommending it.
Well done.
It works well. I'm telling you, that one female character, she's amazing.
Well, now I know the female's the smart one.
Oh, yeah, because that's a shocking thing.
Yeah, the females are always the smart ones. Have you seen Descent? The one movie where it's like an all-female cast that's victim to the monsters, and they just kill like a million
people. I cannot convince Katie to see it. Katie, it's such a girl power movie.
It is.
That movie is like...
That movie is horrible.
No, watch it and then pause it like 30 seconds from the end and say, what do you think of the movie now, Katie? And then when she says, oh, it's blah, blah, then press play again and watch
really
the last 30
it's really
seconds.
It's really only 15 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Never has a director's cut had less time added, and never has a director's cut had more effect on the movie. Like, yeah. It's literally 10 extra seconds that just fucks your brain sideways.
It's the American version.
I remember seeing The Descent 2.
I think
Descent 2 is not very good.
I think that maybe it's the shortest director's commentary that has a huge impact or director's cut, but I think Kingdom of Heaven still has the most impact.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm just talking about like the small, like it's tiny.
Yeah, it's just a little tiny add on.
It's like, here's an extra 10 seconds.
It's literally the only difference between the American version and the European version.
Yeah.
Which one is the one we watch, the European?
I don't want to spot. I'll tell you after the thing. Okay. I don't want to.
So you recommend people to go see other movie and Descent?
Everyone should see The Descent. It's an amazing.
Yeah, obviously.
But see the American version.
Yeah. No, the American version.
The European.
You want to see the
European's
European,
the one with the extra 10 seconds?
No.
The extra
or just the director's cut, isn't it? Or just...
Because the extra part is what makes it worse.
Yeah.
That's the American version.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
You
want
to see the worst?
Oh, come on. You want to see the horrible
version. I like that
one
better.
Yes.
I like that one better, too.
That's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. It's the...
Whichever version has the extra 10 seconds that makes it depressing.
That's the original. That's the original. I confused them in my head.
That's the European.
The European.
Because American audiences couldn't handle that.
Yeah, they're like, why, what?
All right.
So that, and what was the other one?
You're next. I'm all about horror.
No, I'm next.
That's still in the theaters.
Last episode I meant to recommend Saints Row 4, but I forgot to. I recommended it before we started recording, actually. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I think that was written down.
Yeah, no, well, I, in the thread, I said I forgot to mention it. So I'm mentioning it officially
if
now.
You would have bought it. We could have
co-opted
it. I wanted to co-op the game with somebody.
Well, okay, buy two copies. I'll play it with you.
I'm not going to buy any copies.
wait. You recommended it, but you don't have it.
He redboxed it.
Red Letter News. I have played it.
Oh, but you don't own it.
For many, many hours, but I do not own it, no. But I would own it.
Have you played it?
Yeah. Oh, motherfucker.
So you don't own it, and you haven't played it, but you're recommending it.
Good Lord.
How'd you play it if you don't own it?
I pirated it.
Did you borrow it from somebody?
Yes, I borrowed it from someone.
What's his
name?
You
can't do that with Xbox anymore.
That's true. I had to pay for it all new because I played it on my Xbone. My actual recommendation is going to be another...
What, you have two now? Two recommendations?
How many? What a greedy slut.
Wow.
Breaking Bad suit. Welcome to episode 37.
It's going to be another phone game because I got so many messages from people on Facebook, the forums, everywhere.
Temple Run 2 is amazing. You should play that. Good phone game.
People were very happy / angry I recommended Dungeon Raid because apparently I've eaten up a lot of productivity time in people's lives.
It's not that good of a game.
That's fine. So my recommendation this time is another phone game. This one, I'm continuing my arc of games that cost money. This one's actually a little more. It's $3. Big spender, $3. Keep the riffraff out. It's called Knights of Pen and Paper. It is old school, like turn-based RPG, like the Dragon Warrior game for the Nintendo, except it's all D&D, so like the characters are literally like sitting at the table while the DM describes the monsters. It's adorable.
Knights.
It's hilarious.
Of what?
It's super fun. Knights of Pen and Paper. It's super awesome.
Do you need internet connectivity to play it?
Nope. You do not need internet connectivity to play
Knights
it.
Knights with a K?
Yes. Knigets of Pen and Paper.
Talladega Knights.
All kinds of different character classes that you can unlock and start with. It's got different character types. Like you can have the little brother, and he's got his character modifiers because he's like small and annoying. Or there's like the girlfriend who doesn't actually like to play D&D, but she's just there to tag along. And then so there's all the different people, and then they all can play as the different roles, like a wizard or a rogue, all the classic D&D stuff.
A rouge?
Yes, you can play as a rouge or a beard.
You can play one of the beards?
Yes. You have to unlock the beard. The beard and the hunter and the berserker you have to unlock.
Do you have to forge it?
Yes.
Like for Claptrap?
Yes, you have to forge a beard for Claptrap. I forgot about that. Oh, my God. That was so good. I also
I just
recommend
got that.
Borderlands 2.
Tiny Tina's is amazing.
More expansion coming out this Tuesday.
Yeah,
they're never going to stop. And what's hilarious is the level cap they're raising again, and they're kind of double level raising it because they're raising it to 72, I think. And then there's up to level 80, but from 73 to 80, they're not real levels because if they did that, you'd be able to max out like all the skills.
I said when Borderlands 2 came out that it was the real Diablo 3. I didn't realize I was right, and they were going to do battle boxes or battle chests for it, but that has turned out to be
and
the case.
The only new content is they have a couple areas where they have like super, super hard areas, like super things.
Well, and they said they've got like the little
DLCs.
Headhunt things.
There's the
new big one that's like the super hard area, and then there's going to be all these little mini DLC that they call the Headhunt that are basically just kind of be like raid bosses. Like you'll enter and the guy will be like, go kill that thing, and then you go kill the thing. But even still, more Borderlands is never bad.
Yeah. Are they doing a season pass for it or something?
Nope.
I don't think so.
And there's going to be another, actually, I think a playable DLC this fall, potentially. I think they're going to go up to the moon base.
That would be cool.
I keep not being done with Borderlands 2. Like, I keep playing that fucking game, and it's still awesome. Like, I posted on my Facebook, like, the trailer with Doomsday by Nero, like, I can still just watch that trailer and piss my pants with joy. Like, I own the fucking game, and that trailer still
new,
was the greatest 5 minutes
of my
life.
I posted it on Facebook. They have a new mini movie, which is kind of cool.
God, that game's so good.
I just finally finished Tiny Tina's.
My head exploded at, like, that last event here where somebody from Chicago was like, yeah, I mean, Borderlands 2 is good, but you got to admit the plot's not as good as the original Borderlands.
Zombie,
I know who it was. I wasn't going to say it.
And we all almost just fell over. Like, Borderlands 1
there was a pause in the room, and we're all like,
Nothing more wrong has ever been done. Well, first he's like, I like Borderlands 1 better. And we all just stared at him with confusion. And then no, you're wrong. He's like, well, maybe Borderlands 2 better, but the plot in 1's a lot better. And then we were all just terrified and enraged.
Yeah, there was no plot in 1.
You couldn't counterpoint it because you can't counterpoint utter wrongness.
Right. The one thing I liked about 1 better than 2 was the oranges. The orange was one accessory on an item. So you could get, like in this one, you get an orange and it's the same no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1, you could get like
a Liyuta is a Liyuta.
Yeah, a Liyuda is a Liyuda. Maybe it's different elemental, but it's almost identical. In the first one, you could get a Pestilential Defiler, which was a pistol. But what made it a Pestilential Defiler was just the scope. So the rest of the pistol could be completely different. So right. all the oranges were actually unique.
Sure, sure.
Which was awesome.
Also, I liked the energy guns. Those were kind of neat.
Yeah, they were
neat. I also liked the Iridian monsters. Those were neat.
Alien creatures were
they
awesome.
Kind of replaced them with Stalkers, because Stalkers are the same thing where they're 90% shield, 10% health, as opposed to being the other way around.
They're not nearly as neat, though.
They're not as cool. They don't have that.
In the first one, I liked the flyer ones where you had to hit their pinpoint of their wing. Otherwise, you could do nothing to them.
But rabbit Stalkers are so much fun.
Oh, yeah, everybody loves rabbit
Stalkers. You know, Krieg demolishes them. I went into the wildlife sanctuary. I had 3 rabid skags and 2 rabid Stalkers, and I killed them all without dying once.
When you super berserk with that guy, it breaks the game.
Unbelievable.
It's like, so I full heal, I have massive damage resistance, I have massive damage increase, and it instantly recharges as soon as I'm out of it.
Yeah, and once
how am I going to lose
this
game?
And when you come
ever?
Down, you get hit again, and you're down again, and you just do it again.
Well, you just stand there until somebody hits you till you're at 30%, yeah. and then you just flip out and murder the world.
Oh, my God.
We need all 4 of us to get Krieg to max level, and then just like do some recordings.
Yeah.
Just kill, a four. Oh my God.
Walking into a camp with him is hilarious because all this stuff surrounds you and it's like, thank you.
Yeah, they hit you and you're like, oh, I win.
Yep.
So, all right, I'll work on Krieg.
Mine's only level 12.
Well, yeah, the Gunzerker is still the broken class.
Yeah,
if it makes you feel it.
But I think 4 Kriegs would be fun. I mean, like
4
Kriegs.
The Gunzerker is only broken because it can wield twice as many Unkempt Heralds as anybody else.
Right.
Right.
But
the Unkempt Herald is broken.
Even. It's really hard not to break a Gunzerker.
Even right now, mine is... I don't have an Unkempt Herald, but holy cow, well, yeah. I just go through
as
everything.
As soon as I maxed out the middle tree of Krieg, I broke. Like, I don't think...
I think Gunzerker is more broken because he can kill bosses like crazy and mobs like crazy. Krieg can only kill mobs like crazy. Like, he's not killing the bunker.
His throwing axe when he's in super
enraged
mode...
a lot of damage, but the bunker and the warrior are, like, hovering out, and you have to get the axe to arc right to hit him, and... I mean, it does a lot of damage, but it's not nearly the same.
I
killed the warrior by throwing axes at it, and it was kind of depressing. I felt like I was picking on the retarded kid at school.
But the Gunzerker will do that in like 20 seconds.
Right, that is true.
Yeah,
he just tears things apart. Like when I was soloing a raid boss with him. I would go into Hyperion, the Invincible, the raid boss, who like blows up and almost one-shots you. And I was soloing him easily.
Yeah, the thing is, Jim is watching me play with my Gunzerker. I start Gunzerking, and I won't be. My thing will refresh long before mine even runs out.
Yeah, if you are in the middle or left tree with the Gunzerker, he is probably broken.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
He's still the broken class.
I love Krieg gets that shield though, where you get the AoE damage and you start just doing more melee damage.
Oh, that's insane! Yeah, the one that you have to unlock with what's his name's fist that gets eaten off by the Stalker.
Yeah, Love Thumper plus Krieg, I think, is about as broken as you can make that character.
Yeah, that's really really nasty. Law and Order is really good too. Every melee attack heals you full, and then if they do finally hurt you, you freak out and heal to full.
Yeah.
Pretty broken too.
Yeah, I'll work on getting Krieg up. We should plan that.
I would say that, but I have 400 hours of Total War to play. That's 2 weeks. So tomorrow
it'll take me forever to level up my Krieg anyway. So
yeah,
that's true.
Total. Leveling our 3 Mechromancers at the same time was hilarious.
That Bandit Circle of Slaughter was hilarious with 3 Mechromancers.
My favorite was still the one where it's like you have to injure these loaders, not kill them, and we're all just waiting. And we're trying to injure these loaders. And finally we get them injured, and all of a sudden 3 of the monsters come up and just tear the whole world apart.
Yes.
Like the whole world just died instantly.
We had a little tea party in the middle of the place while our guys killed everything.
Our robots. Yeah, it wasn't 3 Mechromancers, it was just 3 robots.
Right.
Because I think all 3 of us had upshot robots, so they wouldn't even go away.
Yeah, they're just info. Info robots. She is really, really good until you get to bosses again.
Yeah.
I might be wrong
also,
about Krieg.
My least
he might
favorite
be really
thing about
good
her
at
is
the raid bosses.
Yeah,
like well, let's get 4 because of 72.
Because of that super cycle, he can solo anything as long as they don't one shot you. They get you down to 5 hit points. You just full heal and beat the fuck out of them for a minute, and then do it again.
Yep. And even if you're not beating the fuck out of them, you're throwing axes, which are like rocket launchers.
Yeah, more. Yeah, like my
axe mine is about double.
Yeah,
rocket
it's double
launcher.
A rocket launcher. That's what mine's doing too. It's like infinite ammo, double rocket launcher.
Right. Okay. And infinite health anytime you can manage your health. enough to be between 5,000 and 3,000 health.
Which happens a lot. Like, yeah. I don't know if the game purposely scales to prevent one-shotting because they're not fun.
I think so.
But I see a lot where I get hit and down to a sliver,
yeah.
and they give me that split second before you then die.
Yeah.
And that's the split second you need to activate the
rage. Yeah, and he tells you. The character will be like, time to freak out. You're like, okay, then.
Poop train!
Yep.
I love when his nice voice talks every so often, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Such a nice little...
It's like, man, that was horrible. But kind of fun. Mostly fun.
God, I watch a video with him too much, too, as well.
I'm the conductor of the poop train!
So that's my recommendation.
Yep. Mine is really lame. It's eat bananas regularly. They will make your insides better.
They're a good source of potassium.
It's not just potassium, but if you, like, you always see ads on TV for constipation or diarrhea constantly. Like, every TV
break, never buy diarrhea.
Every TV break, it's either like you can buy constipation or you can buy diarrhea. And you're like, why would I do that when I can just buy bananas? I guarantee your insides will be happy with you.
I buy bananas every week, and I eat some of them, but I don't eat them fast
enough. Yeah, they always go bad.
That's fine. When they're starting to go bad, you throw them in the freezer, and then you make banana bread eventually.
Or you just buy like three, and on your way home, stop at a grocery store and buy some more or whatever.
And I only like them colder, so I put them in the fridge, which makes them faster.
The outsides will turn brown, but the insides will remain okay if you put them in the fridge.
Also, a funny thing is bananas are great for making other fruit ripen. Like if you have apples or pears or something that isn't quite ripe, if you put them next to – because bananas release ethylene gas, and that causes food to ripen. Even more so if you put them in a brown paper bag.
Okay, I never know.
So if you have avocados –
do you always buy them in like light green, or do you buy them when they're just all yellow?
You buy them a little light green.
A little.
Or you could buy three that are a little light green and three that are yellow and eat the three yellow ones and then eat the other ones
later. They're not technically ripe until they start to get a little bit of browning around the edges and stuff. You don't want to eat them when they're just yellow. But so depending on how soon you're going to eat them.
I promise they'll still make your insides happy.
Yeah,
like I didn't ever put that together, but I read an article. I'm like, there's no way that's true that bananas just make you – healthier and regular.
There's a good food.
Like, there's no way that that's true. And then after I read that article, I noticed that it's definitely true.
Yeah. They're easy to transport, good serving size, tastes good, healthy for you.
I like my
cheap,
my
too, bloody
relatively
poop.
Cheap. Yep.
It's like clunky and bloody.
So I wanted to make sure to make a disgusting recommendation about poop. So
I like to poop.
Mm-hmm. Pooping is fun.
Pooping is fun. It's pooping. Even more fun when it's not a struggle or, like, disgusting. So.
Poop is funny.
I like to cry while I poop.
Yep. I mean, you can do that anyway, is the good news.
I just shat right there when you were just talking.
Great poo mystery.
So who poo the bed?
We're going to poo the bed.
My recommendation is going to be Boss Monster.
But you just said it's not worth playing a lot.
It's not worth playing a lot, but it's worth playing.
I recommended the Firefly game, and I wouldn't play that every week.
Yeah.
Not after I trounced you that last time.
I think
the Hillbilly Brigade.
That was hilarious.
The game has a nice ambience about it. It's all about 8-bit gaming, so all the monsters, all the artwork on the whole thing is all done in 8-bit.
Is this supposed to be plugged in?
Will you stop fucking with the goddamn
cords? I wasn't sure if it was plugged in or not.
It is plugged in.
Oh, sorry. I was going to plug it out.
Go Failcast team.
Woo! Jesus. Power. Fucking Christ.
Welcome to episode 37.
All right, I guess
Breaking Bad.